As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much for making the John Kincaid Show part of your routine. At 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS, if you want to, you really want to join us and join in the conversation, even if you had any questions about the show. So Steve sends one via social media. He says, what time does Anthony get there? You say it automatically connects you at 5 a.m. What time does Anthony get to the studio? So Anthony, what time do you get to the studio? You'd like to know. What time do you get in? We're taking people behind the curtain here a little bit.
Usually about like quarter after four.
Yeah, about quarter after four.
It's a little bit different during college football season and the fallout.
Yes.
Usually I might get here actually like a quarter to four, just because there's a lot of sound to gather from the previous day in college football, the Saturday action. So
sure, it's labor intensive. That is a labor-intensive segment that you put together. That's why we always take note of that here on the show. He was interested in that. You should do that. My alarm goes off. Karen wanted to know when my alarm goes off. My alarm goes off at 4:35. 4:35 every Sunday. My wife has a...
This is all Eastern time.
Eastern time. My wife has a Yeti tumbler with my unsweetened iced tea in it, because no, my Dunkin' Donuts isn't open before I come to work. So she's got a tumbler with my unsweetened iced tea in it, which usually takes me till around 9 a.m. to finish it. I just sort of sip on it the whole morning, get my caffeine. I'm like 6.8 miles to work. And in the morning, I can jump on the expressway and get here. So it's a simple drive. If it takes me 10 minutes, it's actually taking me longer than you would expect.
Have you had any creepy encounters lately? I feel like a lot of times driving in, you've had
weird.
Some
I've had some weird ones.
Weird occurrences.
I had a couple where I was telling you about where driving on the expressway, and it's this road called 285, which, by the way, is America's, this stretch of 285, and if you've ever been in Atlanta, it's a roadway that circles the city of Atlanta.
Maniac drivers down in Atlanta.
There's some maniacs. And you felt that way when you saw it.
I was so frustrated.
You felt it. I mean, it's
Slow down.
It's a crazy place to drive. So the stretch that I drive, because of where I live, and the stretch that I drive of this 285, it's America's deadliest stretch of roadway. It's the deadliest stretch of roadway, the most dangerous stretch of roadway in America, they say. But when I drive it, the only time I ever jump on it usually is if I'm going Sunday morning to the studios. And honestly, it's wide open. It's like five lanes across with a breakdown lane, and it's wide open. There's nobody on the road. So at some point, I believe it's six lanes. So there's nobody on the road. So I can just drive it on out. I can take back roads to it. Another gentleman says here, he goes, do you live in the suburbs of the city? I said, well, I live right. I can walk to where I'm. If you ever heard the expression in Atlanta, there's inside the perimeter and outside the perimeter. I can walk from my house, and in 5 minutes, I can be inside the perimeter. And when I walk back to my house, I'm considered outside the perimeter, but I'm literally right on the perimeter. So I'm pretty much right there. So just so you know, just interesting things. People have some strange questions. If you got questions for us, you can give them to us. And you can use them all at CBS Sports Radio, at John Kincaid. A lot of people track down my email through 680 The Fan. And you can do that too. Radio station 680 The Fan Atlanta, home of the Atlanta Braves, the largest professional sports network, the Atlanta Braves radio network in professional sports, based out of this radio station. So glad to be here every Sunday morning with you. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, if this fan base in any way drops off they are the biggest clown show in sports. And it will reinforce what I already think about the fan base. And that's the Patriots fan base. Because growing up in the Northeast, I can tell you, I remember when there was no Red Sox Nation. The idea that there was Red Sox Nation was completely foreign to me. Completely foreign. And if the Red Sox, I'm going to tell you right now, if the idea that there was a Red Sox Nation, and just for measure, when I was in college, mid-80s, I could go to a Yankee game. I could take the train up or I could drive up. We would park near the prison. A nice gentleman would watch my car for $10. I'd park in the street. And this nice gentleman would offer to watch my car for $10. Now, times have changed, I'm sure, economically. He would make sure that nobody hurt my car while I was away. And you know what? Guy was a man of his word. Nobody touched my car. As long as I had that crisp $10 bill, and sometimes I'd even have the little airplane liquor bottles, and I'd even give them a little tip, and nothing ever happened to my car. But I would go to a Yankee game, sit almost wherever you wanted, almost wherever you wanted. So fan bases come and go, and I'm not shaming a fan base into supporting a crappy product. I am not in any way saying to you, I demand that you follow a crappy product, because that shouldn't be. But the reality of the situation is, the Patriots was the most anonymous fan base in the NFL east of the Mississippi. It was the most anonymous fan base, the right side of the country. The Patriots, you didn't see Patriots hats. You didn't see a Patriot. You didn't run across Patriots fans. Now, I get every idea of jumping onto a bandwagon. I totally get the concept. But the problem is, the Patriots weren't crappy. They weren't terrible. Patriots played in a Super Bowl in January of 86. So January of 86, the Patriots are playing in a Super Bowl. They weren't atrocious.
In 97.
And then they played again in 97, exactly. Bill 11
Parcells.
Years later. Do you know who was, do you know that between those times, Anthony, did you know that the Patriots had the worst attendance in the NFL twice between those two Super Bowls?
I did. Not good.
Twice. The Patriots fan base was anonymous. There was no Patriots fan base. And they had this horrible song. And Anthony, if you could ever find it on YouTube, I bet you can find it. When they went to the Super Bowl against the Bears had a song, the Super Bowl Shuffle, which was really cool, really awesome. The Patriots came out with their own song. And it was one of these rushed together videos. It was terrible. And it was, I'll never forget it. It was like, New England, the Patriots and me. New England, the Patriots are we. And I was like, okay, that's the worst. It's one of the worst songs ever. Anthony will find it, I'm sure, at some point. Is this it? This might be it. Let's see. Glenn, the Patriots and me. Oh, God, it's terrible. New England, the Patriots and me. We'll beat the Bears of the NFC. It was so terrible. It was such a terrible song. So I'm going to tell you this. But after the last 20 years, you Patriot fans have eaten filet mignon, lobster tail, and the best, a spectacular shrimp cocktail sipped on champagne for 20 years. There is no fan base that over a generation because it's 20 years. We're talking a generation. There is a generation of Patriots fans that have lived the absolute good life of being completely relevant year after year after year. And by the way, I applaud you for it. I admire it. I don't hate on them for it, because I consider it jaw-dropping. What Belichick, Brady, and Mr. Kraft and the Patriots put together, it's jaw-dropping to me. It's not the Yankees who can go and buy the best roster if they want to, sign any player they want to. It's nothing like that. This is a salary cap. This is an even playing field. This is trying to handle free agency. This is amazing what they've accomplished. But for the fan base, I can tell you right now, before the big three, working in the NHL and traveling with an NHL team would come through Boston. Two-thirds full for a hockey game. Then they start competing for Stanley Cups, and it's, oh man, the loyalty's back. We went in the year before the big three arrived in Boston. We were up for a hockey game the night before, so I went to a Celtics game. It was less than half full. But again, the next year, all the fans are back. I understand if there's a crappy product and you don't want to buy it. But I'm telling you right now, if the Patriots fan base drops off at all, after 20 years, it will be the biggest joke in the history of fan bases. It will be a joke if it drops off. You guys have been blessed. And by the way, again, this is from a long-distance admirer. And during your glory days, I got to see my favorite team go up against you twice in the Super Bowl. And I can only imagine what it feels like to have six of those. I mean, because I can tell you, February 4th, 2018 is etched in my brain, etched in my heart. I will remember it on my deathbed. I will remember that Super Bowl on my deathbed and smile as one of the fondest moments. You people have lived the life. Show the proper respect. No drop off in passion. No drop off in enthusiasm. Because, gosh, that brand certainly earned it.
You know what I love, JK, from this past week is that as a New Yorker and as a Jets fan, Brady made the announcement that he wasn't returning to Boston on St. Patrick's Day when the bars were closed.
So you figured that maybe he didn't let them drown their sorrows a little bit?
That must have been rough.
Nobody got to drown their sorrows?
That must have been very
difficult. Those people have lived, absolutely, like lived the life. And I'll tell you right now, not jealous, but envious of a run like that. And great respect for it.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.